Thank you, Troy, or whoever turned it on. Matt.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let's have the board roll call.
Karen Bounds.
Here.
Loretta Brimfield.
Here.
Ann Chandler.
Here.
Kim Dykstra.
Here.
Matt Greider.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Ryan Johnson.
Here.
Christy Lear.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Emily Patel.
Here.
Josh Short.
Here.
Mike Treese.
Here.
Christy Walker.
Here.
Thank you. Now we need to have staff and anybody else who's out there.
Casey Parr. Here. Laura Flessner. Colleen Dettenmeyer.
Here.
John Kirchner.
Here.
Jill Trevino.
Here.
Pam Perkins Grimes.
Here.
Matt Caskey.
Here.
Leslie Bednar.
Here.
Ellen Poppett.
Here.
Rhonda Jonassy.
Here.
Tracy Wadsworth. Jennifer Baugh.
Here.
Pam Thomas.
Here.
Linda Johnson.
Here.
Leah Gregory.
Here.
I'm Stacy Bush on IHLS.
Okay, I think we have Karen Egan at the Illinois State Library.
Yes,
do we have
hello.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Anybody else? Everybody present and accounted for?
There are, I believe, two auditors in the Zoom call joining us.
Great. Would you mind introducing yourselves?
Michael Kanellikin with Sheffield Boyle here in our Alton office.
Hi, I'm Robin Klingler, also from the Alton office, the principal on the engagement.
Thank you. That it, I hope. Okay. Moving on to approval of the August 27th, 2024 meeting minutes, attachment 3.1. Would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved, Linda McDonald.
And second, Matt Greider.
Thank you. I get to go through the list again.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Kim Dykstra.
Yes.
Matt Greider.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Emily
yes.
Patel.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Mike Treese.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to department updates, attachment 4.1. This also requires a motion and roll call vote. Do you have any questions about the updates this month?
I was just curious. There were some concerns about barcode placement. Has that been taken care of?
In the report itself?
No, I was just...
Can you be more specific about the concerns?
Apparently, there was some people that were concerned about barcode placements not being put on properly. Did you know anything about
I'm
that?
Sure, yes, I am aware of that. Okay. I believe that's been addressed.
Thank you.
Colleen, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We have addressed all these.
Thank you.
Okay, we need a motion and a roll call.
I'll make the motion. This is Ann.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you.
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Kim Dykstra.
Yes.
Matt Greider.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Piquel?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Mike Treese?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to the acceptance of the August 2024 bills, attachment 5.1. Again, we require motion and roll call vote.
This is
anybody
Josh.
Have any questions? Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Christy Walker. I'll second.
Okay.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Brett Grimfield?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Kim Dykstra?
Yes.
Matt Greider?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Piquel?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Mike Treese?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to the August 2024 financial report, attachment 6.1. Rhonda?
Good evening, everyone. In the financial statements, I wanted to just highlight a few things. First, that items that are under the grant status that I wanted to talk about real quick is that we did receive notice that the CMC and OCLC grants will be on the same payment schedule as they had been in prior years, with the first half issued on November 15th and the second half issued on January 15th. And the iLEAD Library Trustee Training Grant will continue to be a reimbursable grant. And so far we have not received information on the SAPG grant payments, but I wanted to update you on that. And then the financial reports included in your board packet are for activities through August 31st, 2024. And on the statement of revenue and expenditures, that column titled IHLS approved FY 2025 total budget remaining percentage, that target benchmark should be 83% for all budget line items except for personnel, which should be 81% based on having 26 payrolls in the fiscal year. So any items under that percentage are noted with what is included in that category at the bottom of every statement of revenue and expenditure. And on those statements of revenue and expenditures under general fund, the total revenues, the year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 87.3%. And that is due to not receiving any grant funding yet to date on the system area per capita grant. And then in the total expenses, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 13.1%. And under share, the fees for services and material, that year-to-date actual of $1,608,250.62 represents 94.3% of the projected FY25 budget. And as of August 31st, we'd actually collected 85.2% of that amount. So we were doing really good on our collections. And that shares total expenses, the year-to-date actuals, are above year-to-date budget by 40.5%. So both general and share expenditures are higher than budgeted at this time due to those annual payments, such as insurance and the Polaris software, along with the reversals of prepaid expenses that have occurred in August, causing those to be a little higher than what was budgeted at the time. And then in the balance sheets, the general fund, the total cash as of August 31st was $4,235,324.17. And that would fund general fund operations for an estimated 8.1 based on the FY25 expenditure levels. And then the balance would fund IHLS in general, or IHLS in general and the special revenue grants for approximately 7 months as it carries those grants until we get those payments. And then share the total cash for August 31st was $3,273,527.27. So those three categories of funds are the reserve fund with $1,096,246.96 that's sitting in that, and $104,911.11 in that committed funds for ebook purchases. And then we have $2,072,368.20 in that unrestricted or operating cash per share, which would last them approximately 11.2 months based on their FY25 budgeted expenditures. And that's all I have to go over. Does anybody have any questions for me on those?
Doesn't sound like it. Thank you, Rhonda. Fiscal year 2024 annual report, Leslie.
Thank you, everyone. We're really happy to be able to present to you our annual report. This is a cross-team effort to get this all together. The primary components that we ask your approval on are the financial audit or the state audited financial statements and the narrative. You also received the components as part of the packet, but we're not asking you to approve those because that's just a lot of administrative detail we expect you to need to approve. We also have, late yesterday, we were able to send you like an updated complete version of the audit that also included the OCLC agreed upon procedures audit. Hopefully, and we have a couple of out. If you really would like a bound copy, we have a couple in the finance office. If you prefer an electronic copy, we're happy to send that. I mean, share that with you as well. In previous years, the board has approved the financial statement or the audit and the narrative in a single motion, but it's your pleasure whether you want to do these as a single or a double motion. So, I don't know. Let's just keep going and then you all decide. Okay. So, again, we have with us Michael Kanalikin and Robin Cleland from Sheffel Boyle. They're going to guide us through the discussion about the audit itself. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and get started here. I believe everyone should have had a copy of the audit report. The audit presentation is kind of a three-page, summary of everything, along with the OCLC agreed-upon procedure. I'm going to go ahead and start with the presentation report and share my screen. Maybe not. It's fine. Everyone should have it in front of them. It's the three pages. Before I get into that, I want to just take a minute to thank Rhonda and everyone on her team for making a very smooth audit. Really, it went well. Any questions or inquiries were met very timely. So we really appreciate her help and everyone in her group's help with making the audit a smooth and successful endeavor this year. Before I get into the auditor's report, I do kind of want to jump down for just a second to the SAS 114 letter that's mentioned there. That is a separate three-page letter on our letterhead. Just spend a second on this. This is required communication we have with the board at the end of every audit. Covers from a very high level, just some basic kind of general audit kind of principles. But the first thing the two things I really wanted to cover, no difficulties were encountered, during the audit. As I said, everything went very smoothly with Rhonda and the team. There were no disagreements with management. Very few adjusting entries were needed. So really, again, very smooth audit. So I just wanted to spend a second on that. And then jumping into the actual auditor's report, this will be the first three pages of your bound copy or the digital copy you have. The independent auditor's report, this is our opinion on the financial statements as a whole. These are GAAP or full accrual financial statements. The opinion this year was unmodified as it's been in prior years. What that means is we were able to give a clean opinion or, it's the most optimal thing you would have. It's the best form of result from the audit. And what we're opining on there is that the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects. So again, unmodified opinion is a good thing there, the clean opinion. The second report you have in front of you, moving on to pages 4 and 5, report on internal control. We don't opine on internal controls, but we do gain an understanding of the internal controls and how they relate to financial statements, how they can have an effect on the financial statements. Really kind of identifying maybe if there's any deficiencies in internal control. There are three levels of deficiencies, material weaknesses being the most major, significant, I guess, a significant deficiency being the middle level, and then control deficiency. IHLS only had one deficiency this year. It's a recurring deficiency that you've had in prior years, and that the auditors are, you know, assist in preparing the financial statements. Again, this is recurring. It's happened in previous years, and it's very common with entities and organizations of this size. The third report you have, pages 6 through 8, is the single audit report. Our report on compliance with spending of governmental government funds. So, you know, the Arian per capita grant and the trustee training grant, that is partially funded with federal dollars. And once you have over $750,000 of spending federal dollars, that triggers the single audit requirement. This has, you know, been present in previous years, but for this, we're looking at major programs, which there's only one, and just seeing if IHLS complied with basically those granting agencies and the different requirements they have. There were no audit findings for the single audit this year, so that's a good thing as well. So again, those are your three audit reports. Does anybody have any questions before I move on to getting into some of the numbers of the financial statements? Okay. Moving down on that summary, getting into the government-wide financial statements, this is looking at IHLS as a whole. You know, think of all-encompassing, all activity going on this year. And really what we're looking at here is a change in financial position, change in net position here. When you take assets, take out your liabilities, kind of what's the difference? Did you get better? Did you get worse this year? This year, you know, net position increased by a little over $1 million, which is obviously a good thing. A lot of that was driven by pension activity for the IMRF plans. IHLS was at a pension liability position, a small one at the end of fiscal year 23, and now a little over a $1.3 million net asset position. These are things that may not show up on a monthly basis as you're getting financial reports. This is kind of outside the normal day-to-day activity maybe of IHLS, but still does factor in on really, you know, if everything were to be settled today, you know, how, you know, where would you stand? And so, again, that's kind of the change, looking at a very large kind of widest lens picture of IHLS and the change in net position increased by a little over $1 million in fiscal 24. Moving down to page 19, this is where we get into the funds themselves, drilling down a little bit more, getting a little bit more detailed and specific. And here we're looking at the balance sheet and really looking at cash. Cash makes up 94%+ of the balance sheet of these governmental funds, with some receivables and some prepaids making up the difference, but really it is cash. And seeing how cash changed, you know, year over year, looking at, you know, 22 to 23 to 24, and really 23 to 24 here, as this is shown, you can see general fund down about $450,000 in cash. And we'll get into the reasons of that here in a minute. The other funds staying, you know, fairly similar, you know, especially looking at the capital projects being the other bigger ones, you know, stayed close to last year. So really the general fund being the biggest decrease. And we'll get into that here shortly. As I get into kind of why that change really happened, as we get into the revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Moving down here to page 21, getting to the general fund. General fund had a net change, went down $250,000 this year. As you can see, that's primarily driven by transfers, transferring money to capital projects, transferring money to the share fund. So, you know, taking those aside, the general fund would have been, you know, well above its disbursements this year. But as you can see, the transfers made for a big change in that fund balance this year, really driving it down, you know, seeing the $250,000 decrease. The next fund we want to look at, page 21, and these are getting into the rest of our major governmental funds, is capital projects. Here you can see a big portion of those general fund transfers coming into capital projects, $443,000. And this largely kind of funded this fund. If you want to say this year, it really provided the assets, provided the resources for all of the capital disbursements that were made for the servers, for the servers were in share, for the for the different vans for the Edwardsville parking lot facility and all that. So transfers from the general fund is really providing that ability to do that. The other three funds, as you can see, are really operating like they should, where receipts and disbursements are equal to each other. So not really much to go on there. Again, those are operating just how they should be, and really nothing to be concerned about there on any of those. As I move down on this summary again, this is just kind of showing maybe in a different way what we just went through, that, you know, the general fund change in fund balance of 250,000, capital projects about 50, but it's really what I just went over above in maybe a different presentation manner. Moving down to share fund, share fund's net income for the year, $424,829. Part of this, as you can see, is transfers from the general fund, $350,000. Non-operating revenues is interest revenue, less interest expense. And a big factor here, and I mentioned earlier how the pension, the IMRF pension, went from a liability to an asset position, is that reduced operating expenses for the year. So you can see there where operating expenses went down by $353,000. Of that, about $244,000 was pension related, which again, maybe isn't a day-to-day kind of transaction that, you know, routine transaction that maybe Rhonda's office is performing, but that is having an impact there on what you're seeing and, you know, the net income for the year. You can kind of see, you know, in 22 and 23, there was a big change and then it bumped back up. And a lot of that is just, you know, kind of ebbs and flows in the pension activity. Moving down to the budget, started off with budgeted revenues, general fund and capital projects, came in above budget, CMC grant a little bit below. But what really in governmental accounting is important is looking at expenses to budget. And all funds either came in at or below budget, with the general fund coming in at nearly $450,000 below the budgeted expenses. So again, when you're looking at government accounting and looking at fund accounting, that is a big area, is did any of the funds, and particularly major funds, have expenses above their budgeted amount? And for this year, we didn't have any of those. So that's obviously a good thing. That's kind of just the end of this, of kind of my summarized words. Does anybody have any questions on any of these? If anybody's had a chance to look over the financial statements, anything in particular that anyone wants to ask about?
Don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin and Michael. Along with the annual report, which includes the narrative and the complaints that you've seen, this year we put together a shorter format of the annual report. The annual report is what's required. It's in the administrative rules. So there are pretty straightforward guidelines about what goes in that. And if the state legislature requests one, they let us know. More different information, they let us know. Within the next 2 weeks, you will be getting a copy of something that's new this year. It's an annual progress and impact report. I believe we're sending this to all board members and at least one copy to each member library as well. This is a much shorter version, again, just super highlights. So I'm going to pass it around the room in here in Effingham so you guys can take a look at it. Again, that's a draft version. But the final one has been to the printer and it will be going out shortly. Do you have any questions on the narrative component or other components in the report?
I've not seen it yet, but I'm very excited about the handout.
Okay. We're happy to be able to do this. Although it does add another task.
I mean, you didn't read it all?
Okay, so this is the one we can vote on both at the same time?
If you wish, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do that. We have the audited financial statements and the narrative. I would entertain a motion to approve both of them together.
I'll make that motion, Matt Greider.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
For discussion, I'll just say thank you to staff. I know this is a lot of work for you guys to compile. I know you have to do it, but it is nice, especially to have this new brochure that we can share with our supervisors and board members and things like that as well.
Thank you. Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Coretta Brookfield?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Kim Dykstra?
Yes.
Matt Greider?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Pickell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Mike Treese?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
She stepped away.
Yes.
Oh, she did you
hear her?
She said yes.
Okay. She's coming back. She's
thank you.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Okay. Do we need to do anything with attachment 7.4?
That was the components we have already seen.
We've seen them.
Anybody have any questions?
Okay.
That's all the administrative fun stuff.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the Freedom of Information Act. We had no request for that this time. Same thing with Open Meetings Act, no request, no public comment. And we're down to the Illinois State Library report. Karen?
Hi, good evening, everyone. At the State Library, we are currently involved in a significant web redesign, which is happening across the entire Secretary of State agency. I'm talking every page, every publication, everything. And I was telling Christy, the State Library alone, we have something like 260 pages we have to look at. So that's taking a lot of our time right now. Secretary Janulius just announced $28 million in grant awards. And among that are ones that you are already aware of, the $18 million to the three library systems, nearly $5.8 million for literacy grants, about $500,000 for the Project Next Generation grants that support technology-focused mentoring at public libraries, and many of your members have public Project Next Generation grants, more than $350,000 for radio information services to support radio stations reading newspapers for people who are print challenged and may not be able to hold a newspaper or read a newspaper. They read things like the obituaries, the grocery store ads, things that you don't normally hear on the radio. Plus $50,000 to support the efforts of the Veterans Home Library. So about $28 million in grant awards were just announced. We're really excited about that. Thursday is our Illinois State Library Advisory Council meeting, and we're looking forward to having several of you at that meeting. And I noticed you have it on the agenda with no report. That's because it'll happen on Thursday. E-resource implementation is going full speed ahead. As you know, I hope, the EBSCO contract was accepted for statewide implementation to every public library, school library, academic library, special libraries, and it is intended to help serve and be available for those who do not live in a public library district or in a public library service area. So this is intended to blanket the entire state. I was talking to Susanna Jones and Ryan Franklin, who are spearheading the training on this. So far, over 500 public and school librarians have attended training, and every time they do training, they add questions from the training before to make the subsequent trainings even better. So if you've not attended a training to get your library set up, by all means, get set up for this really exciting thing. We are keeping extremely busy right now accepting applications for the school district library grant. They're due October 15th. And this is the first grant round that school libraries must comply with Public Act 103-100 regarding banned books. And I have to say thank you to the systems and also to the school board organization for the work that everyone has done to help educate schools on how to write these policies to ensure that books aren't banned. Thank you, everybody. And this grant, if you're not familiar with it, is based on 88.5 cents per student in those buildings that have libraries with a minimum grant of $850. So it's not quite as big as the Public Library per capita grant, but it sure helps because of the majority of school districts purchase print books with this grant. Also, I understand earlier today, public libraries received an email about the availability of the construction grant that is due in January. So we've got a lot of different things going on at the state library right now. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Don't hear any. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, moving on, we have communication. Leslie?
Thank you. Can you hear me better now, Matt?
Yes.
Okay, great. So tonight, I'm happy to introduce Pamela Perkins-Rimes. She's attending from our Edwardsville office, but we don't see her on the screen because she's not making any sound, but that's okay. Pamela is our new HR coordinator. She brings 7 years of experience from working at Lowe's combined with her PHR certification, which makes her a definite asset for our organization. And we're really happy that she's joined us. Her expertise will be instrumental in streamlining our HR processes and ensuring optimal efficiency. Welcome, Pam. Would you like to say a couple things about yourself? Put you on the spot.
Okay. Yeah, I love being put on the spot. It's great. I'm really happy to be here. This is my second career. I was a reporter for a while, got laid off, and just found HR as a second career. And Jill very kindly is helping me build on that. So thank you, Jill, and thank you, everybody.
Good day.
Well
thank you. Okay, and then Colleen has a short presentation for all of you about the IHLS 2024 delivery survey outcome.
Yep, I'll go over. Thanks, Leslie. I'm Colleen Detmeyer, the Delivery and Facilities Director here, and today we're going to review the delivery survey, which was conducted earlier this year. We'll review the overview of the survey, the key findings, and then the analysis and recommendations for moving forward. The overview of the IHLS delivery survey. The annual IHLS survey was collected 215 responses from our member libraries. This PowerPoint will summarize the results of this survey, which was conducted from May 2nd to May 23rd, 2024. This survey was designed to gather feedback from our members on the quality of our delivery services and to identify areas for improvement. Our key findings, the overall satisfaction of IHLS delivery service was 4.54 out of 5. There were specific areas of satisfaction that we identified: the speed and efficiency. Members consistently praised the quick turnaround times for item delivery. The reliability. The service was described as reliable and consistent with regular deliveries and minimal issues. The convenience. There was the good ability to receive deliveries at a convenient time, and the ease of using the system was appreciated. The access to a wider collection. This service allowed libraries to offer their patrons a much larger selection of items. And then there were courteous drivers. Many respondents commented on the friendliness and the helpfulness of our delivery drivers. The areas of improvements were communication and coordination. Many members noted a lack of timely notifications about delivery cancellations and the difficulty of finding the holiday schedule on our website. They reported on staffing issues, how we have difficulty retaining our staff, the cancellation of routes, and that IHLS drivers sometimes handled the tubs incorrectly, and then just general operational inefficiencies, such as disliking the new tub design, inconsistent delivery times, and phone system issues. So here are some of the quotes that we received from the survey. Overall, I'm still impressed with IHLS delivery. Anytime I have needed to contact someone from IHLS delivery, they are friendly and responsive. I think you all are moving in the right direction and look forward to seeing what your next steps are. Thank you for providing such a wonderful delivery service to our library. I like the fact that we theoretically have delivery service 5 days a week, which is a truly amazing considering how large our service area is. The drivers and staff are friendly, professional, and accurate. We are a small library, so we are not able to buy all possible books our patrons would want. So it is amazing to have IHLS delivery service to borrow just about any items that our patrons could want. And the frequency of the website and ease of use, the text messages about cancellations, et cetera. I have worked with ILL, which is Interlibrary Loan Delivery, for over 10 years, and this is the best organized and friendliest the delivery system has ever been. We did receive a whole page of comments. I just wanted to put some of the overwhelming ones that we have received. So next we're going to review the analysis and recommendations for improvements. Recommendation number one is to improve our communications. We are going to communicate all route cancellations by 9 o'clock a.m. We will be sending a memo on how to sign up for those delivery notifications because we noticed that over 37% of the respondents were unaware of how to even receive a notification from IHLS. And then we're also going to submit our holiday closure notifications to publish in our member connection far in advance of that holiday closure date so that it's in the member connection before the holiday occurs. And then we'll also communicate about some of these reasonings why we have inconsistent route times. Because of a large portion of our delivery times is because of the 5 day functional delivery service that we offer. So for example, the route stops are not the same each day of the week. So there's no way it's possible to even come to the same library at each time each day. So some days there might be 5 libraries before that stop, and some days there's only 1 library before that stop. So the delivery times are going to be different each day of the week. For recommendation number two, as far as the driver wages and training, we're going to hope to work on the staff retention by these raised driver wages for the drivers and sorters this fiscal year. And we are working on ways to provide additional training and communication about the job expectations. We've noticed that one of our biggest reasons for staff leaving quickly is because this job wasn't what they expected it to be whenever they were first hired. So we're going to work on improving those communications before they're hired. And then IHLS staff are also working to update the driver and sorter manuals and to create a training video to ensure that we are having the proper handling of our equipment and materials. Recommendation number three are general operational improvements. So we're going to create those instructional videos for the new styles of tubs for our members and then provide live demonstrations during our routes as well. I'm also working on a member connection post for our next newsletter to explain the reasonings why we needed to make this change to the different style tubs. It wasn't because we just wanted to do that. It's because it was required. And then also IHLS will increase the number of staff on the main line to minimize the need for members to leave voicemails with those phone calls. That's all I have. Any questions?
Don't hear any. Thank you. Good talking. No, that's all right.
Okay, and then the last item that we noted under communication, earlier this month, 3 IHLS staff and I attended the Association for Rural and Small Libraries Conference in Springfield, Massachusetts. Given our membership demographics, where the vast majority of our members are either small or rural or both, it's an excellent learning opportunity for our staff. We really like the fact that the sessions are focused and bring attendees actionable items that they can actually implement back home. And we also find that the ability to interact with rural and small library staff from other states is really helpful. We spent a lot of time networking at that conference, not just with our members that are in attendance, but with folks from other states as well. And while we do
choose our approach sessions as kind of like a with a divide and conquer kind of tactic about let's make sure we can maximize our attendance at as many sessions as possible. The one session that several of our staff attended was called Doing Less with Less. It's a different concept. And I think that the presenter really shared how to create services that fit within a budget. And there are a lot of things that can constrict your budget, right? There could be financial decreases from an external funding agency. There can be just increases in the cost of everything actually impact your budget. So in a negative way. So we're really happy that we were able to attend that. And it's an intriguing concept that I think, you know, especially as the board's discussing the strategic plan and what that looks like and how we implement that, something to consider. We also hope to have the presenter from that session. Actually, she's going to, I think she's from Washington State. She'll be able to present at a matter in the future, so we're really excited about that. And I just want to thank all of you for allowing our staff to attend and get some continuing education ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to, I forgot to move on. Yes, I can. Moving on to human resources, a staff report 13.1. This will require a motion and a roll call vote. Do you have any questions? And if not, I will entertain a motion to approve.
This is Sarah. I'll move to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Kim Dykstra?
Yes.
Matt Greider?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Christy Lear?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Emily Piquel?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Michael Treese?
Yes.
Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, personnel not needed this evening. Moving on to committee reports. The executive committee didn't meet. Budget and finance did. Sarah, do you have anything to amplify?
We met on September 9th, and it was just a routine meeting, and the board is seeing what we discussed that night.
Okay, thank you. Facilities and operations actually did meet on September 5th, and we reviewed the delivery survey that you saw earlier. Personnel.
Yeah, we mostly discussed catalog or tiers of pay and duties and updated a few small details. And we also discussed deliveries coordinator salary upgrade.
Thank you. And advocacy and education did not meet. Moving on to partner reports. Association of Illinois School Library Educators, Leah Gregory.
Good evening. IELTS is working on a lot of the same things that we have talked about. The two big things that are coming up tomorrow is the symposium. We currently have 291 school library workers registered to attend. Wow. And then, of course, the conference that is coming up in early November. I was also, I've joined the IELTS board. So we have also started planning for the 2025 conference. So that's already in motion. And then the only other thing to mention is that the second episode of the podcast is coming out on the second Tuesday of October. So if you get a chance, take a listen. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Leah? Hearing none. Thank you. Okay. ILA, Ryan.
Thank you, Karen. Hello, everyone. The ILA board met last week in Champaign. That meeting was primarily focused on conference, which is just 2 weeks away. We'll be in Peoria, October 8th through 10th. We've also started work on the nominating committee. I'm happy to say that Leah Gregory is part of that committee. After hearing how involved she is with IELTS, I feel bad for asking her to join that. But in all seriousness, we got good representation from Carly, from IELTS, from RAILS, from IHLS. and some geographical representation on that committee as well. We've got five members rotating off of ILA's executive board in June. I am one of those. So we're working to put together a slate of 10 candidates by the end of the calendar year so that we can have a successful election in spring. We also created a new forum. This is the Retired Members Forum. And this is for anyone, it's a pretty generous definition. Anyone within 10 years of retirement can join this forum, but it's a way to share experiences, help navigate things like IMRF or other things, you know, lean on some shared experience there. It's also a way to keep our retired members more engaged, you know, for people who want to give back to the profession, even though they have retired from their day jobs. So we're very excited about that. And then lastly, we formally supported the Carly statement that they put together in support of the library professionals at WIU who are facing massive layoffs. So it was a very long letter, but it was well worded. Sarah, I don't know if you had any experience.
Yes, NILROC just approved it also. So we signed on to that.
Perfect.
This morning.
Perfect. So yeah, ILA is helping the charge and advocating for WIU and their laid off library staff. We'll be organizing some, let's see, how do you phrase it? There's emails that get sent out usually by like an organization like ALA. We can just click a couple buttons and send your support to the powers that be. Normally those would go to elected representatives on the state or federal level, but we can work with that tool and have it be sent to the university president and the board there so that people throughout the state can speak and put their support behind the librarians there.
And if you haven't, can I just jump in and add, if you haven't heard, Western's plan was to basically fire all their librarians and just have a kiosk in the student center to students.
Incredible.
That's my report.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Illinois State Library Advisory Committee is going to meet on Thursday, I believe. So they don't have anything tonight. Moving on to unfinished business, 2024 IHLS strategic planning.
Thanks, Kim. So with today's board planning retreat in the rearview mirror, we've got several things to look forward to. Related to further development and feedback on the proposed strategic plan. October 24th is a check-in with our staff and leadership team. November 12th is a check-in with IHLS members. That has been shared. It is available to sign up through the Zoom link, and that is limits capped at 50 attendees. So we're hoping that members will be able to sign up soon to save their seat in that. Then following that on December 10th at 5 p.m. is the IHLS special board meeting that we'll be discussing specifically the strategic plan. And then for some of us, the best part is February 24th. That's our staff in-person retreat. So Amanda Standifer and Cindy Fessmeyer have a process that they're going to lead us through this time of taking what pieces of the annual report, of the strategic plan, and moving them into our annual plan, because we will already have been discussing the FY 2026 by that point. That starts in January. So we're really excited to be where we are at this point.
Okay, thank you. To the annual meeting, I believe you're right. Speaking again.
Just a reminder, our annual meeting is scheduled for October 22nd. It is going to be held at our Champaign office the same day as a board meeting. We try to kind of put these things together so you're not having to, two birds with one stone. It's yet undetermined whether we will have a keynote speaker, as this is a really busy year for state representatives and senators, apparently. So, but we also have a couple of presentations. Along with the State of the System report, we are going to feed you. We like to feed people. And so there will be plenty of food for you. And we just ask that people sign up for the annual meeting in L2 so that we can get an accurate food count.
Okay. Thank you. All right, moving on to new business. Open board positions, plural, unfortunately. Late last month, Frank Buckingham resigned from the board. With two open board positions, we are developing a targeted communications as we look for new additions to the board. Both are for public library trustee spots, with one term expiring on June 30th of 25 and one ending on June 30th of 26. So if you have any recommendations for me to consider, please let me know.
Karen, I know we had a short list of potential people that I think were write-ins.
We did.
Several months ago. Have we followed up with all those people?
You got
Matt.
One.
Great.
The others did not.
They weren't interested?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or does that include the, were there any unsuccessful candidates from the last election?
Not for that position, not for public library trustees. That's just a really hard position to fill because the majority, which is 8, of our board has to be by law public library trustees.
Yeah.
So, and they're a difficult group of folks to reach as well.
Sounds like we need to change the law.
That's not for me to do.
Okay. All right. For the fiscal year 2026 nominating committee. Next month, we will ask you to approve the nominating committee to add new faces to the board. We want to give that committee as much time as possible to take up that task in light of the fact that we still have 2 holes to fill. Okay, moving on, parliamentary training. The executive committee will review the training and determine what changes we recommend to the board as a whole to consider. Agenda building. What would you like to see on the October board agenda? We will have the approval of the 2026 nominating committee and discussion of a not yet posted request for support of academic librarians, which you heard about. We are moving the executive director quarterly review to November's meeting as October is quite full. Anything else you want to see?
We've never set goals as per our.
We are, I have that on the list for discussing for October and exec.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
Just a couple of nothing for agenda, but I was wondering if committee meeting is canceled, if we just get notification, if that's possible.
You should be getting them if you're a member of the committee.
Okay, but I mean, in general, as a board, can that happen?
That's what the board wants. We can send it to all of you if that's what you would like. Also, is that updated on the board internet? Excuse me. When you're canceled?
Not always. Not.
And then the other thing is we get emails and texts sometimes, and it's not Stacy's fault, but then I look back, did I really do that? And then I have to contact her. So is there any way that people who don't read or don't respond, could we just text them? I mean, if we've met the obligation.
Could you be a little more specific?
I think what Anne means is like we're like a lunch order, for example.
Okay.
You know, I know I'm guilty of this. I put it on and I get a reminder.
Okay.
Hey, we need another orders. I'm like, did I?
Do you want us to send the other information just to folks who've not responded?
If you would, because then I'm not going back and looking and thinking, did I do that? Did I not do that? It would be appreciated.
Okay, do we have anything else? Okay, we still have no public comment. In the announcements, I realized that having 2 board meetings on the same day is a big request, and I appreciate your participation in both today. Can't talk. In the coming weeks, you will receive the executive director's quarterly report along with a link to the quarterly questionnaire to complete. I also ask all of you to register an L2 for all committee and board meetings, and I'm guilty of not signing up myself sometimes. No one likes to be contacted on the day of the meeting about attendance when we don't have a quorum signed up. and makes Stacy's life terrible trying to get everybody signed up. But anyway, kindly remember to sign up in L2 for our various meetings and committee meetings. Thank you. All right. I believe we're about ready to adjourn. Do I have a motion to do so?
I'll make that motion, Matt Ryan.
Thank you. Second?
Ryan, I'll second.
We're done. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Take care, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye.